talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Mike Golic joining us on the HR&P guest line, formerly of Mike and Mike, sports analyst for DraftKings. Mike, I got to ask you, Blankers just said our friendship was on probation previous segment. I don't know how well you and Greeny got along all the time, but can you give me some advice on how to deal with a coworker that doesn't always view me as a friend?
Well, you just have to treat him worse. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Hey,
I mean,
Mike, yeah, whoa. Greeny
and I were together, almost 18 years? Yeah, you know, you have your ups and downs, and but you deal through it. You know, it's like my wife and I, we'd never go to bed angry. Well, Greeny and I would never leave a show angry. You know, if he had any issues, you kind of worked them out. When I worked with Trey Wingo and my son, Mike, that was different because now it's my son. You know, so I can do whatever I want to him. It doesn't matter. You know, no rules apply. But yeah, if someone's treating you bad, if one guy's treating bad, the other guy, you know, got to treat him bad back. That's just the way it works.
All right.
I'm not treating him bad. I'm just being honest.
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Is that like you're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion is wrong type thing?
I like that one. I may use that one in the future, but no, that you never know. Mike, I'm curious, just your thoughts as we stand here today, still not with full resolution on Deshaun Watson, and the fact that the commissioner made this agreement with the Players Association to be more transparent, bring in the third party. The third party comes in. They don't like the ruling. Now they've come down and basically thrown that out and said, we see it a different way. We're going to lay this down.
Well, I mean, you have to understand, this is all CBA bargain. So they have every right to it. Just like if the penalty here coming out of the gate, the NFLPA would have the right to appeal that. So it does seem odd because, you know, for all the 20-some-odd years I was doing the show, everybody complained that the commissioner had too much power. So now there's a system where it goes to a third party agreed upon by both sides, but you can appeal and it can go back to the commissioner, even though he can appoint a designee like he did this time. But this is all bargain. You know, this is all something. This is something I went through as being a player for 9 years and part of a union. And some things we can agree upon as players to fight in the CBA and some things we don't. So, you know, it's tough for anybody to complain about it when this was agreed to by the players. And again, maybe not a lot of the players liked it, but it can be a tough union at times. Something that certainly could maybe use a little work, because there are players who play only a couple of years and there are players who are, you know, millionaires 10 times over, and sometimes they have different thought processes. But again, I'm getting away from your point. And the point is, this was absolutely allowed by the league to do, and I have no doubt that penalty is going to increase to possibly a year.
Yeah, Texans fans would love that, knowing that they have the Browns' first-round draft pick next year. You bring up the point that we've talked about the whole time when it comes to the judge, Sue Robinson, being the independent arbiter, the third party, but then also the appeal power. Like, the NFL Players Association couldn't have been so naive to actually believe that Roger Goodell would have the best interest of the NFLPA when it came to the appeal process. Like, how did the NFLPA ever agree to the fact that Goodell could still appeal the whole thing and still have power over the whole thing?
Okay, so let me take inside a little bit here. What is the NFLPA's main objective?
Money.
It's for the majority of the players. So how many players do we have this go on with? An incredible minority of player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Handfuls, couple of handfuls, where we talk about these suspensions of over 1,800 players. So just as I said, you choose as players what you want to fight for. So years ago, in the last CBA, the players wanted to fight for, you know, not as, you know, OTAs being a little different. Two-a-days in, no more two-a-day back-to-back practices in pads in training camp. During the season, pads only 14 times during the entire season. They were looking at it as a whole to kind of preserve their bodies to be able to play longer. That's for the majority of players. This, what we're talking about, is for the minority of players. So if you're at a bargaining table, And you're given the choice of, do I want to, because listen, if you don't want the commissioner to have any power at all and you want this thing to change, you got to give something up. They're not just going to say, okay, we'll give it up. we won't do this anymore. No, no, no. This is bargaining. So you would have to give something up. So if you're sitting there on the union side, are you saying, okay, for a couple of handfuls of players that get suspended, are we going to give up something that may be good for the whole just to try and get that? You got to understand the union is for the majority, not the minority of players. And in this case, with Deshaun Watson and guys that have been suspended a year, that's a very, very, very low percentage of the 1,800 or so players in the NFL. So you got to be careful of what you want to bargain and give up something for to get something back.
Mike, I'm curious your thoughts just on the field with the Browns. I said a year ago I thought that they had the most complete roster in football minus the quarterback position with everything kind of on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. If Deshaun doesn't play for an extended period of time, or maybe, as you say, the full season, is that a playoff team? Is that a team that, because of the rest of the roster being so talented, can find a way to win? Do they need to go out and look at Jimmy G? Do they have the right quarterback on the roster already, and can they be a playoff team?
So they do have a great roster. You're 100% correct on that. They're in a tough division, obviously, with Cincinnati coming up, Super Bowl, Baltimore always being a tough team, though they struggle some in the playoffs. But they have a great quarterback, you know, an excellent team as well. Jacoby Brissett, I like. Look up Jacoby Brissett. Anytime he started double-digit games, he has not thrown double-digit interceptions. So he doesn't turn the ball over. And let's remember the team you just talked about with a great roster, great running game, great offensive line, athletic tight end. You pick up Amari Cooper, a great route runner, I think is an excellent receiver. I think Jacoby Brissett could be a really good quarterback in this system, really good defense as well. Now, to go that extra mile, you'd love a playmaker like Deshaun Watson to be playing. And I thought the suspension should be about a year or two. And when it was sitting at six games, I thought, oh, my God, they're just from a football, take away the Deshaun Watson situation. But a football situation, they only had one division game and all that, and that was Pittsburgh, the worst of the NFC North. They had the Jets in there, Atlanta in there, Carolina in there. They could have gone 4-2, 3-3 in those first six games. I think they could definitely be a problem for everybody else. If Deshaun is gone for the year, I still think they can be a winning team. But as far as how far you can go, at that point, to go really far, I think you really need a quarterback that can make some dazzling plays. And I think Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback, but I don't know if I put him in that category.
Sports radio titan Mike Golic joining us on the HRNP guest line. Mike, curious your viewpoint of the Texans, a team that they've won four games back-to-back years, still very early in the rebuild, even though the general manager, Nick Caserio, hates that word, rebuild. What do you think of the rebuild? And are the Texans on the right track?
Well, he can hate the word rebuild all he wants, but that's what it is. You know, the first thing is you're going to have to find out, you know, about your quarterback. Is Davis Mills the guy? I called the game for Westwood One when he started against Carolina, and he struggled early on. But it was interesting when they went to, like, the last 2 minutes of the first half or a quick situation, he started to do fine because he probably wasn't thinking as much. He was just reacting. So I kind of like where he went. Obviously, a ton was not going to be expected of him when he was going to be the quarterback, and you knew he was when Deshaun wasn't going to play. You know, again, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So the first thing you need to do is he going to be the guy, or they're going to have another bad season? I think, unfortunately, they are. There is, unlike last year or this past year's draft, there is three or four quarterbacks that are going to be first-round quarterbacks. Now, again, we'll see where they go. So does Houston set themselves up for one of those guys? And then, quite honestly, you're kind of starting over again. If that's the case, if you have a bad record again and you end up picking one of those guys in the first round, this is what I do. I put the guy right in there as a starter right away, and you just start. You just start letting him learn and letting him get the bumps and bruises and letting him work through that, because the quicker he can work through that, the quicker you can kind of get to where you want to be, though it's going to be a process. And maybe Davis Mills says, hey, we're not going to need one because I'm going to play really well. Still, there's a lot of holes to fill in a rebuilding process. Like I said, it's not just, oh, we got this guy. Wow, we're good. All of a sudden, we can do this. I think they, like the Jets, you know, have a lot of different holes they need to plug. The Jets think they may have their quarterback, you know, of the future. So that's kind of where Houston needs to first find out. is Davis Mills going to be the guy? And if he's not going to be the guy this upcoming draft, you could probably get one of those guys.
Mike, we've been big on the embrace the suck mantra, and it's not because we want them to or we hate on the Texans. We think that is the best route to long-term sustained success as a franchise, because if they have another draft like they had last year, if they get to a scenario like you painted where they can get a franchise-type quarterback, they can actually keep this thing going in the right direction at a pretty good rate of speed. But if they win too soon, too quickly, it could actually set them back. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, listen, I come from everything as a former player. So while I understand what you're saying, players just don't have that thought process. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, players want to play well for themselves, to help themselves out, and certainly for the team. Now, you certainly don't want to get into a situation like Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins, where the owner is, you know, sitting there saying, hey, it's better if we lose, you know, and the whole, you know, did he offer Brian Flores $100,000 to lose games for a better draft pick or not? So you don't want to go down that road. But listen, when I did the show for years, I hear that all the time from fans, especially Jets fans. God, I hope we lose the rest of our games. I get the thought process, but understand in that building, players are playing to win. Players aren't playing. There's not a player in that locker room saying, man, I'm playing for 3 years down the road. 3 years down the road, you may not be there. Players are playing for this year. They want to win, and they want to play well. So that process does not enter their minds. But fans, certainly they're allowed to think that way and you know, want their team to lose to secure a better draft position. But that doesn't always do it either. Remember, you got to go draft the right guy. You get in that position, you draft the wrong guy, especially at the quarterback position, and you're screwed.
Legend of the business, Mike Golic. Mike, are you still going to call some games this year for Westwood?
Yeah, I'm going to call probably a full slate for Westwood One. I got to call my first Super Bowl or work for my first Super Bowl.
Awesome.
Last year. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I chose not to do college this year. I'm going to hang out here at Notre Dame and watch them and be free on the Saturdays to watch college football and just enjoy it. And then I'll go pro games. I'll probably do the Sunday night games this year, Sunday or Monday night games, and you know, just kind of stay in it. I can't be all the way out just yet.
Looking forward to hearing you. I met you before the Houston Tech game last year, early in the college football season. Appreciated the conversation then. Appreciated the conversation
yes, sir.
Now. Great stuff as always. Hope to catch up very soon. Enjoy the NFL season if we don't.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
It's Mike Golic, formerly of Mike and Mike, now with DraftKings, and calling some NFL on Westwood One.